sweetless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is hard. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Father Anthony, I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Christina, Tony.
Yes, Father.
Hello.
Good morning. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, or is it afternoon?
It's afternoon,
afternoon already, Nick. Ah. Oh, here we go.
The crackling, snap, crackle, and pop.
The devil.
It's the spiritual battle.
Yes.
The devil. Name it.
Mm-hmm.
Name him. Anyway. So we're getting ready for the procession.
That's right. It's this Saturday.
Very, really looking forward to it. I didn't participate in the last one, which was, I think, when was that?
That was in August.
In August.
Last year.
But
they had the...
Tony was there.
Oh, yeah, Tony went.
And I couldn't remember when that was. I'm glad you said it.
Was that August?
I think it was August.
So how many people were in that procession?
Oh, there was, I'm not going to... A lot. A lot.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot. 50, 500?
I would say maybe 2,000.
2,000.
Maybe even... Because, I mean, the full street, we were, when we got to the park, there was still a long line in back of us.
So it's interesting because somebody said that there were about 5,000. Then I heard somebody say there were about 200. Well, there's a big difference between 200 and 5,000.
More than 200.
But I saw, this morning we were looking and I saw actually a video. So there had to be well over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I would say closer to 2,000. Yeah.
But then, of course, I don't know the people that came in afterwards because, like I said, when we went, the good thing about it is that was a beautiful, everyone was in union.
Sure.
That's the beauty.
It was orderly.
Right. And everybody, because as it went, that's a pretty long street, a stretch of street. So there were still people in back. So as we turned around, people were still going around.
Did you guys go, you did go over the expressway.
Right.
Yeah. That's got to be an impressive sight, from the highway, wondering what's going on here.
And I remember distinctively the firehouse. The guys just came out, and there was like a reverence. They were just sitting there, and it.
Just watching it. Mm-hmm. There was an aerial view.
Yeah,
I don't know from where that was taken. Maybe from the top of. Was there a helicopter or something hovering over?
I don't remember. I'm sure if they're going to take something like that,
but
it was
beautiful.
It was
it was an impressive procession, and
the candles.
Yeah.
Just and like they do in Fatima.
Just sounded just like it.
Yeah.
We're praying
identical.
All the way.
Yeah, so we're going to do the same thing this weekend. So it'll be 7 o'clock at St. John Cantius, and this year they're going to process to St. Stanislaus Kostka, so I'm looking forward to that.
I could see that being more people because it's a further...
A stretch, right?
Is it... because we're going down Chicago to Eckerd Park,
I think.
So this is probably...
Because they're going to Holy Trinity, too. They're going to join, so that's going to be a big crowd, a huge crowd.
So I think it's probably about because Noble Square, it's a little bit longer, because you're coming diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll never forget, we came, it was already started, but we were still kind of at the front, but there was many people that were just coming as we were going, so it's like you're just adding to a crowd.
Wow. In fact, if you can find out from Father Joshua about the crown, the Blessed Virgin Mary's crown, he'll know what I'm talking about. If they're going to use the crown, I'd like to.
If
they're going to use the crown, because I want to let somebody know about that. Because we were given a crown, a beautiful crown, it won't fit on the statue we have, the processional statue.
I see.
We have, but when he saw it, I said, "Well, I wonder if
it'll fit
on the image of the Blessed Virgin, Our Lady of Fatima." And I think perhaps it will, but I'd like to know if you can maybe check that out. Anyway. Good. So that's going to be this Saturday, 7 o'clock at St. John Cantius. There will be a talk, and then immediately following the talk, the procession will begin here to St. Stanislaus Kostka. They'll pray the Rosary in procession, and then hear the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, followed by the benediction. And so this is the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. So and the message is pertinent today as it was then, 100 years ago, maybe more so. I shouldn't say maybe, absolutely
it's
more so.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, she said when she spoke about the need for conversion, to pray for the conversion of sinners and for peace in the world, but also she spoke about the immodesty and immorality, this drifting away from God, divisions in the church, bishop against bishop, and I mean, geez.
And you see it.
100 years later, you'd think that, it's exactly, I mean, consider where we've come in 100 years. We can't put our heads in the sand and pretend that everything is just okay, that everything is fine. So when we know it's not, there's got to be some change, some kind of a reawakening, to some sensitivity to God and to the things of God and to all things sacred. So I was just, as you know, I had a busy morning. Christina was in the office. So I just left an appointment, but very interesting. It's amazing to me when, as I was dealing with somebody and she was speaking about her faith and how her parents, I know her parents well, but very religious people, from Ecuador, and deeply religious, I mean, deeply devoted. And she said something that was very interesting. She said, thank God for my parents, because she said, just as much as I don't think about the fact that I speak Spanish, she said, because she grew up bilingual, like you, Christina, but she said, so it's just part of who you are. She said, the faith is just part of who I am, because it's just, this is the way it was. She was brought up with this. It wasn't just her parents sending her to go to mass, but it was that they lived. Their faith was the center of their whole life, and I know that because I know the parents.
You see them, yeah. They they practice very devout, deeply devout, devoted people,
and consistent for all the years that I've known them. Very consistent. Yes. So she grew up in that. So when you're confronted then with the world as it is today. You certainly question perhaps in a way that people didn't question years ago. And we were talking about this, why perhaps did they not? Because life was so hard for so many people back then. Her parents are maybe, 10 years, 15 years older than me, I think. I would think so. Mm-hmm. But, we've seen the changes in society, and so, but also, these people were immigrant people. They had a hard life. It was a hard life, and so your faith was the glue that kept everything together. So why would they you don't question, because it's what gives you life in the midst of all these problems.
And that's a blessing. It was a blessing, and for those who are also trying to survive, like in other countries, who don't have the comforts that we do,
right?
It's a blessing, because that's what keeps you grounded. Otherwise, we have all the comforts, but there's too many distractions.
Mother Teresa often spoke about that when she would come to the United States or to Europe. She said, here is the real poverty. Of course, Mother Teresa, who worked with the poorest of the poor, and famously known for her work in India, taking the people bringing them out of the gutter where they were dying, and giving them a place where they could die with dignity, that they would have some experience of God's love at the very end of their journey, but literally picked people up off the streets of Calcutta. And so many people would go there, sure, because they wanted the experience or to be able to work. Because she really did. We were talking about this. I don't know if it was the other day I spoke about this on the radio, but certainly I spoke about it at mass about not really about cult of personality, but again, what was brought people to respond to Peter when Peter said, as we heard last Sunday in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter, in speaking to the people, they were cut to the heart, and they said, "What must we do? Tell us what to do." And he said, "Repent of your sins, be baptized, and save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And so I remember well the days of Mother Teresa, because she was on the world stage, and I was very much affected by her presence as well. It was even then, as I went to the seminary in the 1970s, it was 1976, and it was already a time of turmoil and confusion and questioning, and it was just a crazy time. I mean, it was a time when the priests were leaving priesthood and the nuns were leaving the convent, the religious life. This was the beginning of the separation and divorce was all of a sudden becoming very commonplace. Mm. Before that, it wasn't. When you think about that change in and of itself, and there may be some justification for some of those changes, certainly. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there were people that never should have been a priest or should have been in the religion. I don't want to go into that whole mm-hmm. question, but the fact is, you just overnight, it seemed, you had all this this turmoil. Everything was upside down, beginning to really flip upside down. And Mother Teresa, thank God, was on the world stage, as well as Pope John Paul II. Mm-hmm. I remember when he was elected a pope, when he was raised to the chair, Peter, that what that meant for me and for many, because it was the you could lean on him. There was just it was not only what he said, but it was the essence of his presence, what he emanated, mm-hmm. that was very appealing, very attractive. And Mother Teresa was the same thing. It wasn't just that she worked with the poor, as she would say, when people would reduce her, when I say reduce her life, there's thing, we need social workers, mm-hmm. but that wasn't what defined her work. She wasn't, as she said, we're not social workers. Mm-hmm. We're women consecrated to Christ. This is the motivating force behind what we are and who we are and what we do. It's who we are and it's what we do. But she certainly safeguarded that sacred space, the cloister, that there would be this place where intimacy with God would be nurtured, so that they could then go out into the highways, and it would be that they would bring the Lord. It would be Jesus working in them and through them. This was the goal of their lives, still is. Mm-hmm. But I say the what was appealing about her, what was attractive about her, was her work. Yes, of course, it was a challenge, kind of an eye opener to awaken the world to the cry of the poor, to the those who are on the fringes of society, the forgotten. Much of what Pope Francis speaks about often, but it was who she was. It was this holiness of life, this light that she had that drew people to her, and through her then to the work that she did. So people would flock to Mother Teresa, and she would allow them, come and see, but go back and tend to the poor under the roof of your own homes. It has to begin. Charity begins at home. Mm-hmm. And mercy begins at home. Everything should begin close to home, mm-hmm. right? And she would say of the West, as people would ask her the same thing, cut to the heart. What should we do? What should we do? Tell us what to do. So you don't have to come to India. you get to take care of your own poor. Mm-hmm. And she said, the poor, this is the poor nation. These are the poor people. It's a spiritual poverty. You have everything, but then sometimes you seemingly have nothing or very little.
So right? Superficial.
Superficial. So there's an emptiness. On the surface, we have everything. Mm-hmm. So what brings me to that? I think it's the contrast, perhaps, between thinking of the parents mm-hmm. of this woman who, because they had to struggle, mm-hmm. And even anybody who comes from a family where there's immigration or a migration or immigration, and I've worked with this all my life, you know, all my priesthood. So I know the sufferings, the struggles, what people had to leave behind mm-hmm. in order to provide for their families, mm-hmm. for their children. Anyway, so the your faith is all you know, your faith in your family. I mean, this mm-hmm. There was a time when we understood that these are the two things that had to be safeguarded and protected, because if you lose one or you lose the other, you lose everything. So you protect and safeguard the family. You try to work to struggle. Really, it's a battle to keep unity within the family, and to keep the faith. Today, it's a struggle to keep the faith because there's so many voices out there, so many competing forces, really, that militate against and really do distort or even pervert the faith, so that people really have this ignorance of faith, and yet at the same time, deep down, because the law of God is written into our hearts, we know, right? We know. But so I'm saying that this woman who I spoke to this morning quite extensively has that foundation that many people don't have. Mm-hmm. So as she's confronted, she's a professional woman, a doctor, but as she's confronted with she's young, mm-hmm. so she's confronted with all the stuff that's going on out there, but she's grounded because it's in her DNA, as she kind of said. It's mm-hmm. in my DNA. It's just how I, faith, Christ, the church, it's who I am. Now, you question, and it's a good thing to question, because it brings us to a deeper faith. Why do I believe? Why do I accept Jesus? You know, what does the Lord do for me? What do I do for him? How do I respond? How do I build or nurture this relationship? And often, it's something we take for granted until we are challenged in one way or another, and then it causes us to get on that quest into as to why, mm-hmm. Who is he, or what is lacking or missing in my life, and what's going to fill the void. Because we do, we're easily seduced, easily deceived, until we have to, or until we're forced into a kind of a certain suffering.
Yeah, we're taken out of our comfort zone.
Taken out of our comfort zone. Then we have to begin to grasp.
Yes.
And ask, mm-hmm. And search.
And deepen our faith.
Right. So, it's and in this it proves to be a blessed time, because it brings us to, hopefully, to deeper faith. In this case, it certainly has. So. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
You've looked for the right school for your child, but what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Nick is so perceptive. He came over, and he's very sensitive too, isn't he? Really, because he came over and, are you guys okay? Is everything okay? Because he could sense it.
I'm just
tired. I've just been going nonstop this morning. Yesterday, I was nonstop. For the last week, the last 3 weeks, the last month, the last year, the last 10 years, the last 20 years, it's been nonstop, you know?
Yes.
So it's
life.
Life.
This is life.
That's life.
Like that oncologist said, you know, he says, I asked him, what can I do to help this treatment, you know, that I'm undergoing? Welcome to the world. It's welcome to my world. That's Nick's world. Yeah, we're all on the same boat. And I said, well, you know, doctor, what can I do to help this, you know, that I can help this therapy, this is experimental therapy. By the way, this doctor who was here today knows all about that. She was very interesting. She was talking about her patients. But anyway, he says, well, you just gotta rest and you gotta avoid stress. I think I mentioned this before. And I said, well, the only way to do that is to die. That's the only way to avoid stress and to rest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. I felt so bad for poor Lazarus and Tabitha the other day. We read about the resurrection of Tabitha, and I thought, you know, just let her be. let her be. But anyway. No, we're just tired today. It's been a nonstop day.
Yeah, it has.
But anyway, so we keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter whether we're tired or not. We have to keep going. Yesterday we were just talking about this, doing some filming for Shalom, which is a very attractive a network, if you want to, I guess you call it a network.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing some filming here, and so I was part of this yesterday, and it's a little bit hard for me to be before a camera. I talked about that last week. I don't want to go back into all that, but it's hard to be in front of a camera. Caffeine. Yes, you're right. And you know, I was thinking about that before the show, and they could just sent me a little note to keep going. One word: caffeine. What does LOL stand for?
Laughing out loud.
Oh, laughing out loud. Okay, yeah. Lots of luck. I was thinking.
Yeah. That's what I remember this.
Right, so,
lots of love.
Whatever. Lots of love. Anyway, caffeine, yeah, that's a...
But how about for those who can't drink it?
No, caffeine. What about those who can't...
I can't have caffeine.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed.
I don't know what to tell you.
Then just be sleepy.
That's how I am.
We live in the age of the internet, so you just say, what will get me that little bit of a boost? Well, I'm drinking lemon water, so that's supposed to help, but...
That's good.
You know, caffeine would be nice. The Turkish coffee would be really nice right now. Anyway... By the way, I made some for Father Loya a couple of times. I should ask him how he enjoyed it, and if it helped him on the radio. He doesn't need any help on the radio, but if it gave him that boost.
That little boost.
You know? Anyway, I should try that maybe tomorrow. I might just bring my coffee, a little Turkish coffee cup with the thick Turkish coffee. I love that stuff. It's so very tasty. But anyway, So what were we talking about? So I can just, I don't really, really don't want to think or talk about anything right now, but
yeah. Talk about life.
Life.
Much. Yeah.
So it is not easy, is it really? But it's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. Yes. But it's been, yesterday was a busy day. Today's going to be a busy day. This actually for the next few days, it's going to be nonstop. It's hard when you don't see, it's very hard to see the end of the tunnel when you can just kind of breathe. But you know that God provides in the course of a day.
That's the amazing thing. After it, you sit back and you say, wow, how did I get through this?
Yes. Absolutely. I say that every week. I say that every Monday, don't I?
Yeah.
Yes. Or even like when you're talking about spiritual battle, when you're being bombarded by all these different things, you know that something good's coming.
Right.
There's a price you have to pay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's a reward.
Well, that was yesterday, too. So we had a wonderful, beautiful mass. Marky and Steve celebrated 20 years of marriage. Couldn't believe it was 20 years.
20
it
years.
Just seems bizarre. I kept saying it was 10 years. I was telling people they're coming to St. Stan's. They're going to celebrate.
It's good to see them the other day.
10-year wedding anniversary, and it's actually 20 years. How time flies. But so after then, I had to prepare for this.
The TV.
And so you're stressing out already over the camera. You know, I'm already trying to psych myself out of this stress. And then what are you going to say? Because it's a little bit different from... I tell you where I'm most comfortable is at the ambo in the mass. That's where I'm most comfortable. And I've said this before, and everybody who listens knows this to be the case. I'm not an organized thinker. And therefore, I'm not an organized speaker. And so this is really a cross that I bear because I can't have a script in front of me or sit down and in a very ordered, neat kind of a way, prepare something. So it's everything tends to be more extemporaneous. Mm-hmm.
But then when you think back, again, we go back to life. Life is not ordered, you know.
It's scripted, yeah.
It's scripted, yeah, there you go. You don't know what's going to come, what's going to be thrown at you. Even like a day here in the parish, you don't know.
Monday, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
You can almost apply that to anything.
Anything.
And I do that too, because people always say, well, how do you manage your time? Well, tell me what you do. Do you make lists, blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I do, but A, B, C, then you got a reason for, you know, the rest of it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And everything gets out of the way and you just deal. And you say it best. It's almost like a trauma here. You deal with things as they come along. Mm-hmm. There's no real preparation except for the things you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
You just got to go with the flow.
Right.
You know? I told the story about the roller coaster, right? My little lady said, when who was the guy that, Steve Martin?
Steve Martin.
He says, how'd you do that? He's in the midst of all this chaos, the family's in chaos, and everybody's going crazy, and he just looks at the old lady who's in a chair who never spoke through the whole of the movie. She was just kind of there, never said anything, kind of off in La La Land or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he just kind of cried out to her, how did you do it? You know, how did you do it? And she spoke for the first time, and she said, life is like a roller coaster. You just got to learn to go for the ride. And so in the next scene, when they're at the play, the school play, the child, his son is knocking things over and missing his part and messing up other people's parts and just all over the place. And he's cringing, you know, he's just holding onto that chair, just cringing like he's ready to... like he's really stressed out and he's going to have a heart attack or
explode
or something. And he turns and he sees his wife and she's beaming, just beaming with this great big smile and light in her eyes as she's watching her little son in this play. And then he had the image of both of them on the roller coaster and she's enjoying the ride and he's not, you know. Uh-huh. And it's true, you know, that's the way it is. But you know, when you've got responsibility, you just you want to do well, and so. But that's the thing. So yes, I was. What am I going to say? Stressing out over that, and then I thought, why am I? Then I get angry with God, you know, in a way, not in a bad way, but I just say, you know, why do you put me through this, or why, you know, this is not where I shouldn't be here. Have you ever thought of that? You know, how many people have?
Yeah, I always think
asked the question. I bet you a lot of people do. You know, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're married, whether you're single, whatever it might be, a priest or whatever, you sit there and you say, why, you know, you've chosen the wrong person for the wrong thing. You know, I'm not the, I remember when I became pastor and I, and what,
that was in 96.
27 years later, I'm still asking the question. You know, I think they made a mistake. I think they might have made a mistake.
You made a mistake.
But I remember the first, especially the first couple of years, it was a very bizarre because it just didn't seem, this is just not
where I should be. And then I think of like you mentioned, or like even parents, you're not given a book or you just have to go.
Right.
You learn as you go along.
And you make a lot of mistakes.
Yes, and we learn from our mistakes.
And we suffer.
Yes.
We pay. We pay for those
mistakes.
Yes, we do. You know, I just, it's, but that's the way it is, isn't it? I just, you know.
But you know, who's the one that, there's that saying, you know, God doesn't choose equipped. He equips those whom he chooses.
Well, I think that's where the wisdom comes, I guess, in being receptive and to be able to humbly say, you know, okay, here I am, and this is what you've chosen. This is what you got to work with. So... deal with it, please, dear Lord. You know, dear Lord,
grace.
Deal with it because, you know, I can't do it without you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get through. But I do pray for a miracle, you know, especially when the cameras come because do something, you know. Or are you like, so we were talking, we were filming yesterday. And and this is very aggravating, too. So it was, we're in the church, and this happened with the media last week as well. So... I'm doing my talk, you know, speaking about the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all of a sudden, this gentleman who's kneeling about four rows in front of me before the icon starts praying out loud.
Oh, my goodness.
It completely distracted me, and they had to stop, and I had to go to him and ask him, you know, could you just, for just a little while, just pray in silence? And so he agreed to. Well, then he moved his position, so we're starting again, and so they had to stop again because we had to move him then to another place. And then you get to start all over again after that, you know. Well, where was I, you know? And they can, of course, put it together and take me. But where was I? What was my... And then when I begin again, I'm off in a whole other... I go off in another tangent.
Because you're like on a roll, or you're an inspiration. Yeah,
or the siren, you know, then, because we're right along the expressway.
So then
they hear the siren, so they had to stop, because they said it really picks up the siren.
Wow.
You know, the sound siren. Yes, so it's...
It's very challenging.
Challenging, it's to say the least. And then you got to, they put to get this story together, so afterwards, and they want to film. And they're professional. I say their work is really, really good. It's very, very inspiring.
Over and over. I think about even movies when people...
Well, I'd mention it to them.
You create a movie. You almost have to do the same thing over 5, 10 times.
Exactly.
Be lucky it was one or two.
I'm not an actor. So, you know, so I had to pretend like I was sipping coffee or drinking coffee, looking out the window, and it was just very odd. Or even
did you get this good side? Should I do it again?
Exactly.
How about the lighting?
And you're thinking about that as well, you know, the lighting and again, they didn't put makeup on me, so I thought, but he mentioned it to me, or Blossom mentioned to me, because she was in the industry, actually worked in the industry with MTV in California. So she knows, you know, this is what was her work. And she was talking about that, too, because I was saying how awkward it feels to have to
pretend
artificial. Like you're drinking coffee.
Yes.
So what I did, you know, so they had me in the office. They want to get an office. So I actually called Anjay, one of our parishioners, to take care, you know, so that I could actually do something. And I told him, I said, we're on the camera. he's on the other line, but... none of it's being, it's not verbal, it's more,
because
it'll be interspersed with the talk, you know. But she was saying, you know, people, and I saw this actually when I was in Italy, because I watched the filming of a movie. I was sitting, it was very interesting. I was in, right across from the Pantheon in the square, Rotondo, I think is the name of the piazza. And I would go there in the morning for coffee and a croissant. And I'd spend a lot of time there because I like to just rest and read and watch the people. I love to watch the people. And they were actually filming. I could stay there. I wasn't in the way, but they were at another table. Mm-hmm. They were filming a scene, and they probably did it 20 times. Yeah, I watched 20 times as they repeated this over and over. Mm-hmm. And then you had people in the piazza. So all of a sudden, I have to tell you, so I'm sitting there. This is a light show. We're going to take a break in a moment, Nick. I'm sorry. But this was really interesting because as I'm sitting there, before I realized that they're going to be filming mm-hmm. a movie, all of a sudden, there were these nuns that were showing up in the piazza and a couple of priests and all these people, but they were dressed, you know, in...
In the religious garb?
Yeah, but in the old...
In the old days.
Yeah. And at first, I just saw, oh, those are, you know, traditional nuns, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. there's a traditional priest with, I forgot what they call the hat that he was wearing. And I thought, well, that's interesting, you know, and you don't... It's not unusual to see priests and nuns in Rome, you know, they're all over the place, but all of a sudden, the piazza was filling up with these people, and then all of a sudden, people that were dressed in a very modest... Talk about modesty, you know, and dressed as if they were... in the 1930s or 1940s, and then it occurred to me, something's not right, because then, of course, the cameras are coming and all that, and so people were gathering, and so everybody has their position, mm-hmm. and so when they're doing the film, so as they're filming this scene at the table, and it was a guy who was coming, and he was giving, in a very inconspicuous way, slipping a gun to this other guy. So there's a conversation. He slips him the gun. So this was the scene that they... But while they're filming it, then you've got the people moving in the background, walking across the piazza. Mm-hmm. And they had to do this about 20 times. You know, they had to repeat this scene. Oh, everybody took their place, and then they, you know, cut. And then it was fascinating. So I sat there and watched the whole thing, thinking maybe they're going to try to turn the camera my way too, you know, and get me in on this film. But they didn't. I wasn't dressed appropriately. So anyway, we got to take a break. Let's let it just be a light day, okay? Sure. We need some light days, I think,
levity.
You know? Levity, some levity. So we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've looked for the right school for your child. But what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Watch out. He is showing us his flesh. I am Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for Tabor Life Institute. God has taken on our flesh, and during the Feast of the Epiphany, God shows his flesh to the world. In the Western Lung of the Church, God is showing this to the wise men. The Eastern Lung, having just celebrated the circumcision of Christ's flesh, now speaks of Christ's naked flesh during his baptism in the Jordan River. In the East, Epiphany is also called Theophany. So why all this flesh? Because the flesh of Jesus Christ reveals his divinity and the truth about being human. This is the theology of the body. Christ's birth, epiphany, and baptism in the flesh has renewed all creation. And if this is real to us, how do we now see all of creation, especially human body persons? To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Everybody, thanks for being with us. I'll get a little bit serious now. So we'll talk about the first apparitions, not the apparition of Our Lady at Fatima, because we're going to, this Saturday, we have the procession. There'll be processions, I think, all over the world, I can imagine, because the Pope is going to be in Fatima.
Sure.
He's going to canonize. I thought it was all three, but it's not. He's I believe he's going to canonize, declare as saints, Francisco
and Jacinta.
And Jacinta.
Okay.
Lucia, I don't think
she still has work to do.
She's got work to do. She lived a longer life, you know.
Yeah, she did.
I always say, if I had died at the age of 20, I probably would have been a saint, you know, maybe. Maybe not. Probably not.
Maybe not.
I wouldn't
No,
have
I
been.
Said if I would have died as a child, I would have been.
A child, that's what I, yeah.
Just so innocent.
Yeah, I was not, so. At 20, I would not have been, but anyway.
But it's interesting, Father, when, you know, talk about the children, when they said, well, the Blessed Mother told us that we were going to go, but that Lucia was just going to stay a little while more, and it's like, a little while?
A little while, yeah.
A little while.
Quite a, because she was in her 80s.
Yes.
I think, at least, when she died.
She was, yeah.
She died not too long ago, actually, mm-hmm. So. But they died soon after the apparitions.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. They were.
But the year before, in 1916, so this is the 100th anniversary, so Saturday we have the procession that begins at St. John Cantius at 7 o'clock. There will be a talk, and then the procession, we will lead the procession here to St. Stanislaus Kostka. So we should be here about 8:30, probably.
Around there.
8:30, mm-hmm. 8:45, whatever. But it's interesting, the angel of peace, the guardian angel of Portugal, an angel of peace, appeared to the children before the apparitions. So this was already in 1916. And Lucia, mm-hmm. who lived a long life, who became a nun, I think she became a Carmelite or Cistercian or something, poor Claire, I think she was a Carmelite. But anyway, she describes how they begin to see in a distance above the trees a light whiter than snow in the form of a young man, quite transparent, and it was brilliant as crystal in the rays of the sun. And the angel spoke to them and says, "Don't be afraid, do not be afraid. I'm the angel of peace. Pray with me, pray with me." And the children knelt down, and they repeated after the angel this prayer, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." And when they finished, the angel said, before he vanished, "Pray this way, and the hearts of Jesus and Mary are ready then to listen to you."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's I love the prayer, and I pray this all the time, and I've added to this, and I actually mentioned this on the film yesterday, the filming. Because I said a little thing on the apparitions. Mm-hmm. They may decide they're not going to use any of that, you know. I said, this is what you got to work with, you know. So, but I add to the prayer, my God, I every time I pray the rosary, sure. Every time I begin my prayer, my private prayer, my personal prayer, I begin with this: I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I thank you. I thank you. I think the gratitude is important, and I've learned that. I've learned that in my own life, especially this past year, I have to say quite honestly how important gratitude is, to be grateful for what has been, what has been given, but also gratitude for what is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, for the blessings, because God is generous in blessing us, but it's not as it would be through the eyes of, you know, we have to see through the eyes of faith and recognize, yeah, the many ways that we are blessed, certainly blessed with superficial things, mm-hmm. but there's these other deeper things that maybe people wouldn't recognize necessarily as blessings, but because in faith we've experienced that in fact these are blessings. I was mentioning to this doctor this morning that really, and I think I've said it here on the show, the past year has been not an easy year for me at all. It's been a very difficult year, but it's been probably the most traumatic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know if it's even, I have to think about that, whether it's really been the most traumatic.
It's been very challenging.
Very challenging, yeah. But it's also been but I have to say it has been the most blessed, mm-hmm. year of my life. And I say that in utmost sincerity, mm-hmm. because I've just had my eyes open to so many things and so many different experiences that that really it's been a very blessed blessed time. So we recognize how we've been blessed, and so we, you know, we thank God for these blessings. And so I think, you know, I would add to the prayer, or I do, or I suggest to you, to all of you, you know, and this is interesting, pray this way, because the hearts of Jesus and Mary are then ready to listen. I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you, O my God, and I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you, and do not thank you. No? And do not thank you. You think of the Our Father, you know, it begins with, holy be your name, your kingdom come, thy will be done. So the prayer that Jesus gave us really begins with recognition, acknowledging that God is holy, that God's kingdom should endure. We want to be participants, not only recipients, but participants in the kingdom, make present the kingdom of God, and to do the will of God, because in this we find our true peace and our true happiness, in doing the will of God. What is the will of God? But, you know, as the disciples or these men who became disciples, but who said, what should we, you know, they were cut to the heart at the words of Peter, in the presence of Peter, what should we do? Tell us what to do now. He says, repent of your sins and be baptized, give yourselves to Christ, and save yourself from this corrupt generation. So what do we do? We say, thy will be done, but that's it, isn't it? The will of God is that we recognize and repent of our sins, and that we offer, give, surrender, submit, consecrate our lives to Christ, because through Christ we have access to the Father, right? And in this, we're saved from the corruption of our generation. We're not going to get sucked into the world's corruption or the deceptions of the enemy or the illusion. You know, it brings us to live a deep life. So that was the prayer that the angel taught the children. And then there was another time. Well, we'll take a final break, and then we'll come back and finish up this. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Words of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just two blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up the hour on a busy day. It's going to be a busier day. I got a lot to do. Just kind of take it in stride. Mm-hmm. One thing will come, another thing will go. So, anyway, we're talking about the angel of peace. The guardian angel of Portugal is how the angel identified himself, and he appeared to them another day, and he says, this is a year before the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he says, what are you doing? He says, you must pray. So he said, the hearts of Jesus and Mary have merciful designs for you. You must offer your prayers and sacrifices to God the Most High. Now, hearing this, people can say, well, this is all kind of fantasy and, you know, the stuff of a child's fantasy and all that. But this apparition, these apparitions were rather profound, and 70,000 people, by the time it was over, witnessed the miracle of the sun. This was in the secular press, atheists, doubters, those who had no faith. It was a miraculous event that really impacted the lives of countless people. But the message itself, nobody could have, you know, it couldn't. These messages of Fatima, we'll be talking about that. And we've had David Carollo here, mm-hmm. He's head of the World Apostleship of Prayer. Is that what they call it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Fatima, really promoters of the message of Fatima, which is, as I say, very pertinent today, more so today than perhaps 100 years ago. It's the question is, are we going to heed the call? Very simple. Very simple. And this is, again, out of the mouth of babes, let the children come to me because to them belongs the kingdom of God. We're not talking about childishness. We're talking about childlikeness. You know, children are disposed. They're open to wonder at the mystery of God. They're open to these mysteries. And I think part of it, much of our adulthood is trying to get back to that kind of childlike innocence that keeps us open so that we can be the mystics of our time, which again doesn't mean we're flying high, but it means that we're able to discern, we're able to perceive, to recognize how God is working, you know. And it's and in this, you know, we can bear with the crosses we have to bear with, and we can, you know, reading the signs of the times, we can say, yes, okay, this is not a good place where we are, but we're not going to despair, we're not going to lose our peace. And if we do, we know. And this part of this deviation from the path we're called to follow. It's a narrow path. When we deviate, what pulls us immediately back on the path is that we experience the loss of peace, an interior peace. It comes really only from God. Only God can bring this peace into our lives. It's a real peace. It's a very deep peace. And isn't this what we want? And that was one of the messages of really pray for the conversion of sinners and for peace in the world, but there can be no peace with no conversion. So it goes back to the will. What is the will of God? What should we do when the Jews were cut to the heart at the preaching in the presence of Peter, and cut to the heart? They said, "What must we do?" He says, "Repent of your sins and give yourselves to Christ." And you save yourself then, because it's He who saves us from this corrupt generation. But you don't have to be consumed by the corruption. You can rise above it, and indeed we do. But to the children, to these children, the angel is preparing them for this. In fact, he says in every way, because they ask. He says, "So, what are you doing?" He says, "You must pray. Pray. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have merciful designs for you. You must offer your prayers and sacrifices to God the Most High." And they, of course, then said, "Well, what sacrifices should we make?" And the response was, "In every way, you can offer sacrifice to God in reparation for the sins by which He is offended and in supplication for sinners. In this way, you will bring peace to our country. For I am its guardian angel, the angel of Portugal. Above all, bear and accept with patience the sufferings God will send you." This is not, this is very evangelical. And when I say evangelical, I mean it comes right from the Bible, right from the gospel. This is the part of the gospel message. Jesus says, you're going to follow me. You're going to pick up your cross and follow. It's not an easy path. It's a difficult path. Pick up your cross and follow me. Enter into my sacrifice, the giving of yourselves, for God's greater glory and for the salvation and the sanctification of others. And so sacrifice is first and foremost what? But the giving of ourselves over to God. Offer yourself. Remember the young man. I bring it up so often because it's right from the Bible, the gospel. When the young man went to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit life everlasting? And the Lord said, first of all, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, and that's your Father in heaven, because he points beyond himself, teaching us that we have to point beyond ourselves. Yeah, he's hidden. His messianic identity hasn't been revealed, but he points to the Father, to God. And he says, then he has a very simple question. Have you obeyed the commandments? And he says, yes, I have, since I was young. He says, it's good. That's what you're supposed to do. We all know that. These laws are written into our hearts. He says, now, but I want you now to give everything away. Come and follow me. Give to the poor all that you've got. Come and follow me. In other words, what he's saying is, give me your life. So that's what I'm asking of you. What do you want to do to inherit life everlasting? Offer me your life. Give me your life. Get rid of whatever keeps you from offering your life to me. And he went away sad, the young man, because he had many possessions. And Jesus, he just looked on him with love, and because he knew he's going to come back, because eventually everything's taken away, right? In life, mm-hmm. we have everything is, at the end of all things, everything is taken away. It's only what we have in our hearts. So these children have been chosen for a very specific mission, to convey to the world the message of the Blessed Virgin, that we are drifting away from God, and this is going to have very, very dire consequences. And so we need to offer supplication and prayer for the conversion of sinners so that there can be peace in the world. For peace in the world, there's no peace without conversion. We don't have time to go into it now, but God in his providential design has called us into this prayer of supplication and this sharing the sacrifices of Jesus. We all suffer in life, but that we unite our sufferings to those of Christ for the salvation, the sanctification of others. Or that we say no to good things in life in order to give ourselves completely to Jesus for, again, for the purpose of salvation and sanctification, that we might make a worthy contribution, not only to the common good, the salvation, the sanctification of others, but also to the future, to the future. And that's a question as to what the future will bring if we don't heed the message. So, all right, everybody, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll pick up on this. We'll continue mm-hmm. with this tomorrow. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now. The winds have changed, read the signs. No time to hide, the winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take the